This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Georgia Senior Senator Saxby Chambliss is retiring at the end of this year. He decided not to run for re-election in the most recent campaign. Senator Chambliss joins us now in his office in Atlanta. Senator, thanks so much for being with us, and all the best in your retirement.
Well, thanks, Dennis. We're Julia and I are very excited about life after the Senate, something we always wanted, and it's been a great run.
A few months, though, before you announced you were not running for re-election, you told me you were definitely going to run. So what changed your mind?
At that point in time, my grandson was, he was then a 10th grader when I was making my decision. He'd been a 9th grader the year before, and during the spring of that year, John had had 16 baseball games, and I saw none of them. Between that and the frustration that I had experienced over the last 3 or 4 years or so, that's pretty well what made up my mind.
Was it just because of what's often called the gridlock between Capitol Hill and the White House? And is there enough blame to go around here?
There's plenty of blame to go around to everybody. I was very frustrated as we went through the Gang of Six process, for example.
This was on deficit reduction.
Exactly. We're, you know, last week we surpassed $18 trillion in debt that we now owe. There were three Democrats, three Republicans in that group. We come from different philosophical standpoints as well as different parts of the country. We made the hard and tough decisions within the group that would have solved the problem. And when we made our presentation to Senate leadership, it fell on deaf ears. And that was Senate leadership on both sides. Nobody at that time, as we were heading into an election, wanted to put their members in a position of having to take hard and tough votes. But, you know, that's why we go to the Senate. That's why people send us there.
But if you and other members of the group that helped put this together leave out of frustration, what are the chances that anything will get done?
Yeah, out of the six original members, only three are going to be left. And I hope they can corral enough of our colleagues who are still there to get on board with re-energizing this issue at some point in time. And I think they will. I mean, even the president has been talking recently about major tax reform. The House is talking about tax reform. Leadership in the Senate's talking about tax reform. That's a key portion of ultimately solving this debt problem.
The Senate also passed an immigration bill. It stalled in the House. A lot of other Senate measures have stalled in the House. Was part of your frustration the fact that House Republicans simply couldn't even get on the same page themselves a lot of the time, and a lot of the measures that the Senate sent over died in the House?
Not really, because the House is an institution in and of itself. I served over there 8 great years. I thoroughly enjoyed the House. But I never have, and I never would try to give a sales pitch to the House. And the House has to operate within its own atmosphere.
But is it difficult for Speaker Boehner to get stuff through when his own caucus is as divided as it is?
No question. And immigration is the one issue that everybody points to, but there have been lots of others. I used to tell everybody that the President of the United States had the toughest job in Washington and thereby in the world. Not anymore. Speaker Boehner has the toughest job of anybody.
When you came into the Senate, it was certainly a partisan atmosphere. You came in amid criticism of one of your campaign ads that showed Osama bin Laden, I think Saddam Hussein, in a blast at Max Cleland, the incumbent senator at the time. Was it difficult to repair those bridges at the time?
No, I had two members of the Senate who had something to say about my campaign, which very honestly, that campaign ad had a lot more to do with Max Cleland putting his arm around George Bush in his campaign ads than it did anything else. Bush clearly was on my team. But I went to those two individuals straight up and had a conversation with them, both of them, when I explained to them where we'd come from and what had happened in the campaign. I said, look, we didn't understand that. We apologize. You'll never hear from me again. And neither one of those senators have ever said one more word about that.
Did you ever talk to Senator Cleland about it?
Max and I have had any number of conversations over the years. I think he was very distraught about losing. That's not unusual. And we haven't had any intimate discussions about the campaign. He's a friend, and I respect him. I have the utmost respect for him. But no, we haven't gone into depth on the campaign.